Okay, we're holding two lines from the bottom of Base on the Base. We left off yesterday. We were discussing the question: is it possible to fit the din of our Mishnah about the two people holding on to the talus and each one swearing that he owns at least half of it, taking half? Can we reconcile that with Sumchus's opinion, who says that when we have a doubt who Mammon belongs to, then we split it with Avishvua? And we started by saying that we could distinguish between Shem of a Shema, which was the case over there, versus Bari or Bari, which is over here. Each one is definitively claiming, I picked up the thing first.
Right.
Then we said Rabba Bar Abuna says that some folks would hold his opinion even by Bari or Bari. So then what do you say? So we made a distinction between whether there's Dror de Mamoina or not, where Rashi said Dror de Mamoina means that there's something that by right, that previously, that by right belongs to one person, and now he's losing it. So not only he's not gaining, but he's losing.
As in the case of the
ox that gored the pregnant cow. If it turns out that the owner of the ox is responsible for the death of the baby animal, and he doesn't pay, then the one who owned that baby animal is losing. Not only he doesn't gain, he doesn't get paid, but he's losing what he had before, and vice versa. Whereas in this case over here, you're talking about something that was found. He's not gaining, but he's not losing something that he previously had. And then we said that Tosfos explained that Dror de Mamoina rather meant that there's an inherent doubt over here, that even if they didn't come to Beis Din with their claims and counterclaims, the situation itself inherently has an uncertainty because you don't know which came first, the goring or the birth of the baby. As opposed to over here, the whole doubt is created. And therefore, that's there, he would say, that's what we're saying. Over there, he would say that they divide it without a shvua. Whereas over here, where there's no drora de mamoina, the reason for the suffix is only created by them coming into Beis Din, holding the talus, then maybe he would say differently. So here's where we're starting then, Beis on a Beis, two lines from the bottom. That distinction that you're making between drora de mamoina or not, shouldn't we make a kavah chomer to the contrary? In that case, there is dror de mamoina for either one of them. Not the talus. No, in that case, with the shur goring the pregnant paro, whichever one, if we end up unjustly not making him pay or making him pay as the case may be, and it turns out to be wrong, either one is in a position, depending on if you judge the case wrongly. Each one stands to actually be losing something. Again, the owner of the baby animal. Well, that's the thing. In other words, if the cow only gave birth after the goring, meaning that the goring killed the baby, then the owner of the baby stands. So if you instead pass in that we're not going to take the money from the other guy, then he's losing the value of that.
Only one guy loses.
Well, that's the point. It's not that both of them are going to lose, but one or the other of them is definitely going to lose.
Yeah.
That's the point. There's dror de mamoina to either one of them, whichever one. If you paskin wrongly, whichever one you paskin wrongly, whichever direction, one or the other of them is going to lose something unjustly. And furthermore, And second of all, there's another distinction. By the way, the Maharam points out, Tosfos will understand Dror de Mamoina to mean that there's an inherent suffix. They would evidently have the girsa just the ikka Dror de Mamoina. They wouldn't have the whole thing Lamar and Lamar, because according to them, Dror de Mamoina is not that one has versus the other has. It means that the situation itself has an inherent uncertainty. Second of all, the ikka Lamar Makul Lamar, the ikka Lamar Makul Lamar. Second of all, in that case, of necessity, either it all belongs to one or it all belongs to the other. Either the shur killed this animal, killed this baby animal, or it didn't. There's no middle ground over here where one could conceivably own part of it and the other could. And yet, almost Sumchus Mamana multiple suffer kokum leshur, and yet in that case, even given those points, Sumchus still says that you divide it without a shur. Haha, the lekka dror de mamoina. Here, where there's no dror de mamoina, in the sense that there's no dror de mamoina because it's a Messiah, and both of them may have picked it up at the same time. The Ikalamema de Tavayuhi, and you could indeed say that it does, unlike in that case, it's not necessarily, it's a given. It's either 100% to one or 100% to the other. There's no middle ground. Here, there could be a middle ground. They could have both picked it up at the same time.
And therefore, the
story
is more
likely. How much more so? No, precarious. But that's what we were saying yesterday, is we would think in this case, some folks would agree that you make a shvur. Now we're saying that, no, on the contrary, given that there's no Dror de Mamon over here and there is more of a possibility it belongs to both of them, why shouldn't we say, even more so, that Simplus would say divide it without a Shavua? Because there is a real possibility that they're, because the maybe they both picked it up at the same time and they're both telling the truth. We each own.
I don't want to hold that definitely, they both swiggle definitely someone's swearing falsely.
No, that was Ben-Nanus, we said, and but we said yesterday, even according to Ben-Nanus, in our mission, and not necessarily are they both swearing falsely, they may have picked it up at the same time. But here, it's a similar thing. Why, fine, if Simchus says in that case you divide it without a Shavua, how much more so he should say so over here you divide it without a Shavua? The answer is no. Afilu kema Simchus. No, you could actually answer, after all, even given all of that, that our Mishnah does go according to Simchus. Because Simchus's case where he says where there is a Shavua, there isn't a Shavua, is talking about what you do on a Doraisa level. Here we're talking about Shavua Midrabbanan. This Shavua over here is a special takana of the Rabbanan. Now, the Gemara knew all this time that it's a Shavua Midrabbanan. A Shavua Doraisa is only to pater yourself from something. A Shavua Doraisa is never to collect anything. And here you're ending up getting half the talus with your Shavua. But the Gemara assumed before that it was a general thing. In general, we say that, as your Papa had said, where one or the other of them might find an excuse to take it unjustly, then therefore we make him swear in order to dissuade him from that.
But in our case, there's no Midrash over here.
That's the point is, when we say Midrabbanan, we mean it's a specific takana that applies only to this kind of
on
case.
Which
not something that which even some folks would agree with, right? That, in other words, it's not something generic like we started saying yesterday, that it might be generically in such a case you might have to swear. No, this is a where you have a suffix on who owns something. This is a specific case over here meant for the case of Shnai Mertz and Metallus. As Rabbi Yechanan says, and we'll learn it again in more detail, we'll analyze this point later in the Sugya, this Shavua is a special takana of the Rabbanan for this kind of case. So you don't have any person going and grabbing a hold of somebody else's talus by Mishalihu and saying it's mine. So we specifically make it's not a regular case of a suffix who owns it or not. It's rather a specific thing that we want to prevent a situation like that, and therefore we tell him swear, and that way if he's packing not telling the truth, then he's more likely to be dissuaded from it. Midoraisa, you wouldn't make either of them swear according to this. Midoraisa, you would just say each one is muchzik and half of it. So fine, each one gets half of it.
And that's it.
Okay. So, fine.
What should we do with them?
Because the Rabbanon have the capability to make a person swear a Shavua. The Rabbanon have broad latitude when it comes to Dini Mominus.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Next. Fine, let's try another opinion of Tanoim. Should we say that our Mishnah does not go according to Rabbi Yossi? Now, by the way, I mean, we said, can we say it's not according to Ben-Nanus? Can we say it's not according to Sumchus? Can we say it's according to Rabbi Yossi? Not necessarily is the halacha like any of those Tanoim. However, the Gemara would like to assume that a Stam Mishnah goes according to everybody unless we have reason to say otherwise.
Give everyone a chance.
Yeah. So, Rabbi Yossi, because if you're going to say our Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yossi, now, later on in Perek HaMafkid, the Mishnah tells us a case as follows. Two people were mafkid money by somebody. One was mafkid 200, the other one was mafkid 100. Later on, when they come to pick it up, both of them claim that I deposited the 200. So what do we do? So the Tanakhama says over there, well, we know each one deposited 100, so you give each of them 100. As far as the third 100, what they're arguing about, you set it aside until Eliyahu comes. Rashi learns that it means that you keep it by the Shomer. Many other Rishonim hold that unless one of them, means until Eliyahu comes and then settles it, or one of them, I mean, the Rambam puts it more prosaically, until one of them is moided to the other or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, Rashi learns that it means it stays by the Shomer. Most other Rishonim say it means you give it to Beis Din and they hold it in escrow. Whatever it is, Rabbi Yossi says over there. Im kein mahifsid ramai. Well, if you're going to do that, then what is the cheater losing? What incentive is there for him to tell the truth? He's going to get back his 100 regardless. Ela hakol yehem monachat shiyav eliyo. So rather, Rabbi Yossi says you put aside the whole 300 ad shiyav eliyo. The fact that this ramai is now going to lose out the 100 that he deposited, that may induce him to admit. Now, applying that to our Mishnah, applying that to our Mishnah, why are we saying if each one is claiming the whole talus, we say we give him half of it? By Rabbi Yossi's logic, the whole talus should be set aside at Yov Elio for the same thing. So that Amai will be more
discouraged.
Yeah. Okay. Question is Elamai Rabbanon. Fine. So we want to ask back. So what are you going to think that our Mishnah goes according to the Rabbanon against Rabbi Yossi? Well, fine. Keeping the Amir Rabbanon Hashaya and Monachat Yov Elio. Fine. That Rabbanon do agree that the remainder of the 300, the third 100, which is what they're both arguing about, has to be set aside at Yov Elio. Hanami Kishav Jami Disvekehi. After all, I mean, the whole talus over here is in the same situation as that third 100 over there. So if you're going to relate our Mishnah to that Machlokes, then it doesn't work out according to either the Rabbanon or Rabbi Yossi. Both of them would have to agree that it gets set aside at Yov Elio. And the Gemara answers back, "Hi, Mai. What kind of an upshlog is that? I can prove to you that the Rabbanon would agree that this case is different than that. Yamit v'shleimit Rabbanon. If you're going to say that our Mishnah goes according to the Rabbanon, then fine, it works out well. The difference is hasam devadai haymanet chad minayu. Because the difference is in that case, we know for sure that third mana it belongs to one of them. Yeah, it belongs to one or the other. Well, yeah, only to one. Right." Amir Rabbanon Yehem Monachat Yov Elio. Fine, the Rabbanon say Yehem Monachat Yov Elio because it can only belong to one or the other. There's no way that it can belong to both of them. Okay, Rishonim point out. I mean, theoretically, you could have that at one point one of them transferred ownership of it to the other one, but it's an unusual kind of thing that you have something as a pikadon by somebody else, and while it's still by him, you transfer it to somebody. Yeah, usually you would assume that. Yeah, I mean, mind you, the Gemara does mention over there the fact that they, you know, we're talking about that evidently they both deposited it with him at the same time and didn't, like, put it in separate bundles or whatever. If they did put it in separate bundles and then the Shomer himself mixed up which one is which, then it's his liability. He's the one who's going to have to be on the hook to give 200 to each one of them, and he's going to have to lose 100. But here we're talking about there's a certain friendship between them to begin with. Yeah, there's partnership, or no, not partnership per se, but whatever, yeah. But they trusted each other, sort of, but yeah. Anyway. So fine, and the Rabbanon would distinguish. In this case, again, the talus could very well belong to both of them, because again, they may have picked it up at the same time, or if we're talking about they're arguing who bought it, they may both have given money to the storekeeper. And you know how it is also. I mean, we said yesterday that what happened was the storekeeper agreed to sell it to one or agreed to sell it to the other. You know, they could be arguing over that kind of point, right? I mean, you know, I'm giving you money. I want to buy this thing. Yeah, sure. You know, I'm giving you money. Yeah, sure. You know, whatever you say, you know, and each one of them mistakenly thinks that the storekeeper meant it sincerely to him. Yeah. Anyway, so here you could say that it does in fact half belongs to one and half belongs to the other. Therefore, Amir Rabbanon Palgi B'Shvur. So fine, that Rabbanon will say this case is different than that case. We'll split the talus using a Shvur. Eli Amir Rabbi Yossi. But if you're going to say our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yossi, it for sure wouldn't work. Hashta, because let's consider. In that case, where there's no question that each one definitely owns one mana out of this 300, and yet he says that even the part that we know for sure each of them owns is set aside at Yov Elio in order to get the Ramai to confess.
How is the Mishnah going?
Here, where it could be it belongs to one or the other of them, how much more so Rabbi Yossi should say that the whole thing should be Munachat Yov Elio. Because that's the thing. Over there you have 300, where 100 of it definitely belongs to Reuven and 100 definitely belongs to Shimon. And we're still taking it away from them and putting it aside at Yov Elio. Fine, but well, that's the Gemara is going to make that distinction in a second, right? But so far we don't know that distinction yet. But over here, not necessarily. I mean, yeah, the 100%, it's possible the talus belongs 50-50. It's also possible it belongs 100% to one or 100% to the other. Yeah, so how much more so shouldn't Rabbi Yossi be saying that he put aside the whole thing actually of Elio?
But okay, I mean, the truth is that if that, let's say theoretically, two guys grab a talus, one guy grabs a talus on the floor, and he says, oh, he grabbed it also, so I'll grab on to it, I'll come to the best, and I'll be partner. If he didn't pay for it, like we learned yesterday, and then the Rama you say, I'm not going to lose anything, I could say, okay, let him.
Well, but that's the thing, that's the Gemara is going to point out of it. There's not necessarily a Rama over here. Because it could be one of them could be a Ramai, but it's also possible neither one is. Yeah, that's the distinction the Gemara is going to answer. Afilo Tamer of Yosi, no, because you could even say that our Mishnah goes like a Yosi. Hasam Vada Ik Ramai, because in that case there's no question there is a Ramai. Somebody is trying to claim 200 when he's only masked 100. Phew, who says there is an Amite? It's true. It's possible that it's one picked it up and then the other one decided to grab onto it. But it's also possible. It's just as possible that they both picked it up at the same time.
What do you mean by the same time?
At the same time. They're both lying on the floor. They both see it at the same time. They both run over and each one picks up one end.
Exactly.
Exactly at the same time. I mean, not necessarily. I mean, if you timed it with a stopwatch, there might be a fraction of a second. But it, as far as they know, as far as they know, it was both at the same time. You know, when either one is going to swear that I own at least half of it, they're doing it truthfully because in their perception, it was at the same time.
So you have to have the exact same second.
But it could happen. Yeah. But it's still possible though.
It's unlikely.
Okay.
The second case, I understand a little better because one grabbed onto more, one grabbed onto less because
right.
They were jumped. They saw them and they were walking together in the street. You see, they dodged that together. One grabbed more.
But it's a long thing, you know, and each one grabs one hand. It's possible, yeah. Anyway, so therefore, so Tosis points out that's the thing. When there's a Ramai, then Rabbi Yossi wants to say it's not just we don't want the Ramai to gain, we want him to lose in order that he should be induced to confess. Therefore, we'll take away his whole 100 and
cost
each
one.
There could be, but not necessarily. So, as Tosfos says, each one thinks that, that's the thing, each one thinks that he picked it up first, but really, they actually both picked it up at the same time.
But if one swear that says, I swear that I picked up
that's
picked
why
up
he
first.
Doesn't swear that I picked it up first, because then that could possibly be a Shavuot Shrub. What he swears is, I own at least half of it.
Oh, that's
we use that lotion, and yeah. Okay. So then the question, Inami, or another way of looking at it, another way of distinguishing between the two cases, Hasam Kanis Le Rav Yossi Rama Keheche Delodi. In that case, we're saying that Rav Yossi wants to cancel the Ramai, the cheater, Keheche Delodi, in order that he'll confess. Hocha might say the Isle Delodi. In this case, when we're talking about a Metzia, what is he losing that's going to induce him to confess anyway? Like this, if he confesses, I didn't pick it up. Like this, if he confesses, I didn't pick it up first, he's getting nothing of it. And if he and if we take the whole thing away, he's also not getting anything. So it's not like keeping it is going to induce him to confess anyway, because if he anyway confesses, he's not going to get anything. So Tosfos points out that
he's losing a potential gain.
He's losing, but
he's not losing something he has.
No, but it's more the point. Over there, if he admits that he only deposited the 100, he's going to get his 100. Over here, if he admits I didn't pick it up, then he gets nothing.
Yeah, but he's not losing anything.
The difference is, though, that in this case, if we take away the thing and set it aside, actually, Yav Eliyahu, either way, he's losing. So therefore, that's not going to get him to confess. In that case, Rav Yossi would say, put away the whole 300. So now there's three possibilities. Either he so what do we have? Like this, if he were to admit the truth, he would get 100. If he doesn't admit, then he gets 0. Therefore, that'll induce him to admit, because at least he'll get 100. In this case, what are the possibilities? Either he doesn't admit. And hypothetically, we would say that Rav Yossi would say you don't just get anything to the whole thing away.
No, it's
fine. There was a reminder from Mincha time, but okay. Where were we? Yeah. So over here, if we take away the thing and set it aside, actually, Yav Eliyahu is not getting. So what are we going to say? Well, that'll get him to admit. Why? If he admits, he's also not getting anything. So Tosfos points out another distinction is that's the thing. Even if before we were saying that maybe there's not a Ramai over here. Now we're saying even if there is a Ramai over here, still putting it away is not really going to help anything because he doesn't stand to gain anything if he tells the truth.
Only thing is that he still uses that word swearing in a certain sense.
That's why we make him swear, exactly. So that's the point. We make him swear so that if he's not telling the truth, he won't, right?
But the case is not the same.
So that's the thing. It's not exactly the same thing. They're different. The Ritva, for example, talks about that there's more possibilities. Maybe Rav Yossi is not so concerned about making the Ramai lose, but he wants to prevent him from gaining. Again, over here, setting it aside is not really going to accomplish anything as far as him not gaining anything, because like this, if he tells the truth, he's also not gaining.
Now, the other case, making both of them swear would not And Yachloku, that wouldn't work also now.
Well, there's no reason to Yachloku, because like we said before, it's a given that 100 belongs to either one or the other of them.
So a swing won't accomplish anything.
Right. But besides, that's also the difference, though, is there we know one of them is a Ramai. We're not going to make somebody swear when we know that he's a Ramai. Here, the possibility exists that neither of them is a Ramai.
Unless they're just...
You could say over there also, both of them thought that
they got all of them.
You yourself remember how much you deposited, you know.
Unless you're old and you forget.
Yeah.
You could forget.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, the question is Tenech Metzia. Fine. That answer works as far as a Metzia. How would that answer work in the second case of the Mishnah, or actually for the second case, Zer Mekulo Shali, which we said yesterday, each one of them gave money to the merchant. What are you gonna say then? That if you say Yehi Monachat Shiyav Elio, then Vaita you have, that will accomplish the same thing as with the 300 Zuz.
Somebody stands
to lose more than he would if he admits the truth.
Unless the Chanmini gives money back to him.
No, but the Chanmini is not going to give it. Why should the Chanmini give the money back voluntarily? And in fact, Joseph said, we might even be talking about the Chanmini is not even available to ask. So like this, if we put away the whole palace, then he'll have an inducement to confess. At least if I tell the truth, then yeah, I'll be entitled to get back my money from the Chanmini. But if I don't, then I lose everything. So therefore, Ella Machvarja Kedeshanyan Meikara. Okay, so then it's clearer. We have to use our original answer.
Okay.
So the original answer, we said that the difference is that over there there's a Vaday Ramai and here there's not. So that's the thing.
Because over here,
this idea of that even if there's a Vaday Ramai over here, you're not going to put it away because there's nothing to make him lose anyway. There is. In a case of Mecha Chomenko, there is what to make him lose by putting it away. So Rabbi Yossi ought to say that you put it away rather than making him swear. And yet he doesn't. We're assuming that our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Yossi as well. Our Mishnah was a Stam Mishnah that says that they swear in Yachloku.
Does that mean that Rabbi Yossi agrees?
That's what we're trying to figure out. We're assuming that Rabbi Yossi would agree with our Mishnah. We don't find any place that he doesn't. So then we assume that a Stam Mishnah goes according to everybody unless otherwise specified.
Now the question is, Rabbi Yossi, like if we see that, remember where the Ramai does get to lose, then...
That's the question. If you were to understand it that way, then it still wouldn't fit. You still couldn't understand our Mishnah according to Rabbi Yossi. Whereas if we take the other view, that we're not saying there's a Vaday Ramai over here. So that's the thing. So Tosfos says, we're not totally taking back what we said before, Tosfos says. Rabbi Yossi would say that we need two factors in order to say, Yehi Monachat Shiyav Elio. There has to be definitely one of them is a Ramai, and there has to be that setting it aside will accomplish that he's going to lose something more than he would by telling the truth. If either one of those factors is missing, then you can't say that. So that's the thing. So therefore, in our Mishnah, actually, as it happened, well, in the case of Metzia, you don't have either factor, because not necessarily is either one a Ramai, and putting it aside isn't losing him anything more than he would anyway, because like this, he'd get 0% either way. But in the second case of Mecha Chomemka, one of those factors exists. So the Gemara is saying that all you need, then according to Rabbi Yossi, you don't need both factors, you do need both factors, that's the thing. What we're saying is that it's not good enough to say that there's a Vaday Ramai, it's not good enough to say that we're going to do it in a case where the Ramai is going to lose. It has to be that there's a Vaday Ramai, as we said before, and here there isn't one. So even in the case of Mecha Chomemker, where whichever one is the Ramai is going to end up losing up, but since he may not be a Ramai, we can't do that.
Now it fits with the Mishnah.
So now it fits with the Mishnah. Okay. Now, Bein the Rabbanon or Bein the Rabbi Yossi. So now let's consider something else. According to the Rabbanon or according to Rabbi Yossi. We mentioned yesterday the case of Gabi Chenvoni Yachin Kosei. We have the case over there where Balabas has hired workers. He has them go to the store to buy stuff from the store and put it on his account. Later on, the Chenvoni tells him that they gave out X amount and the Poelim say we didn't get it. We say that both the Chenvoni and the Poelim each swear to their respective claim, and the Balabas has to pay both of them. He has to reimburse the Chenvoni for what he's claiming. He has to reimburse the Poelim for what they didn't get,
for
what they're claiming.
Comes on them,
So now the question is, I'm Rabbanon and Rabbi Yossi, Hossam, Gabbat Chenveni, Alpin Kosei, Dukhatani, Zenish for Venoto, Zenish for Venoto, where we say that each one of them swears and collects from the Balabas. Maishna, the Lamrin, and Nakhila Mamonu Balabais. Why over there do we not say we should take the money away from the Balabais and put it in escrow in Basin? Vehem Monachachi Yavelio, Dabavada Ikhtar Damai. There, there's for sure one or the other, or the storekeeper or the Pilim are lying. Right, right. The answer is, so in other words, according to the Rabbanon, they would say the same thing in the case of the third mana. Rabbi Yossi says it in the case of all three mana. The Chenveni Alpin Kossi over here is like the third mana, so both the Rabbanon and Rabbi Yossi should say, hey, mono chachi avelio. Why aren't they? In the case of the Kodim, third mana, I'm saying the third mana is, here, the whole amount we're talking about over here is like the third mana in the case of the two Pekodim, and in the case of the two Pekodim. Because in both cases, you're not sure who it belongs to. Again, in the case of the three monas over there, one mana you know for sure belongs to Reuven, one you know belongs to Shimon. The third mana is the one that's in doubt. Here, the whole thing is in doubt.
Yeah. Even for sure.
So for that's the question. Even the Rabbanon should agree. Even that, because the Rabbanon do say that the third mana is Yehem Monachachi Avelio.
And this Pinkus is like the whole third mana.
The answer is Amri. So the answer, Hossam Heiner time. No, the reason over there is a different factor. Because what do you have over there? You have basically the Balabas made two unrelated deals, one with the Chenveni, one with the Poyolim, without cross-checking them, basically. So therefore, the Chenveni says to the Balabas as follows. Look, I did your shlichus. You asked me to give these workers food. I gave them food. I don't have any business dealings with this soccer, with this worker. As a matter of fact, even if he were to swear, I don't consider him trustworthy enough. I'm not obligated to accept his shvua. I have no business dealings with him. You're the one who trusted him. Because after all, you didn't tell me give him only with Adim. So therefore, you trusted him. You're the one now. So it's your problem if he's going to swear that you're going to have to accept that shvua. I'm not obligated to accept that shvua. And the socher, conversely, can tell the balabais the same thing. A similar thing. Look, I worked for you. I don't have any business dealings with the Chenveni. Even if he swears to me, he's not trustworthy to me. I'm not obligated to accept his shvur instead of the money that I'm claiming I'm owed. Therefore, both of them end up swearing and collecting from the balabais, as opposed to the case of the two mafkidim, of the two mafkidim and the shomer over there, where Each of them trusted the same person. Each of them trusted the same person. And in fact, the Gemara says over there they originally gave the bestowness in the presence of each other also. But the deal that the Balabais made with the Chenveni and the deal that he made with the Poilim are two completely different things, where one of them has no obligation towards the other. Right.
There's no cross obligation.
Exactly. Tosfos points out, by the way, that the Balabas does not have the ability to say to the Chenveni, look, if you're my shliach, then I didn't appoint you my shliach to mess things up for me. We had this concept many times in Gittin, that when you send a shliach to do something, if he messes up, then you the mishaleach are not liable. He is. The difference. So why don't we say the same thing over here? You should have known on your own to give it to him with Adim. So that's the thing. Tosfos says that there has to be basically that the point is that there has to be at least in the shlichus there's inherent something that when you tell the person to do the shlichus for you, there has to be some kind of hint that this particular factor is important. That this particular factor is important. Tosfos brings a case, for example, that we learned in Ksubas about that you sent a shliach to pay back money and the other guy claimed that it was actually payment for a prior debt, not the current one. You should have taken the shtar back, because over there at least he mentioned the shtar. Here the Balabas never even mentioned anything about Adim. Therefore it's not the Chenveni's responsibility to think, you know what, I need Adim.
How should he have mentioned it here?
He should have said, when I'm sending this pearl to you, I want you to make sure there are Adim around when you're paying, when you're giving him the food.
And that would have been enough.
That would have been enough, yeah, but if he didn't. Okay. So therefore, he's responsible. Now the Gemara is going to go off onto a little bit of a side point, which is going to take up the next couple of blocks, in which we're going to relate we're going to relate to our Mishnah and see how this. And,